This is the day the Lord has made. Thank you for joining us in worship today. We praise God for you and however you're listening. We pray the message you receive will allow you to strengthen your relationship in Christ and build his kingdom as we seek God, shape lives, and serve the world. But have you ever thought about, I want to kind of reflect on, before I give the text for today, because have you ever thought about how difficult it is for God to get his message through to this world? I mean, have you ever considered how, not to just church folk, but how difficult is it for God to get his message through to the world? And you might say, well, yeah, I hear you say it's kind of hard, but just think about it. It's a difficult task. How difficult is it? I'm glad you asked. I'm looking in Luke chapter 16, and I want to just kind of relate about the difficulty of God's word getting to the world. Beginning of verse 19, it talks about there was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and who feasted sumptuously every day. And at the gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The Bible says the poor man died and was carried by angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, in hell, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off, and he saw Lazarus at his side. And he called out, said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in the water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in the flames. But Abraham said, Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things, but now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you is a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us. And he said, Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment. But Abraham said, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead. How difficult is it to get God's word to the world? I want to ask you a question. I want you to respond. I want somebody to actually come up and tell me. First of all, let me see. How many of you were here when I was called to be pastor? Everybody who was members of First African, just stand. Everybody who was here when I was called to be pastor. Come on, let's thank God for them. And y'all still here. Oh my goodness. Now I do have a question for you. For you, and anyone else can answer this question, but I do have a question for you, and I really need you to answer the question. We got a microphone for you, but I need you to answer this question. Out of all the years I've been preaching, what would you say you've heard me preach most? What would you say you've heard me preach most? I just want you to come to the mic, and one or two or three of y'all can come to the mic. Anybody been for 42 years or more? Or anybody who's been here for a long time, and you can say, well, I know what you preach all the time. Who? I need you to come and tell me what you have heard me preach most. Come on. Anybody who's heard me? How many of y'all heard me preach? Anybody heard me preach? Okay. All right, here we come. Here we go. All right, got a couple of them. Come on, get the mic. Come on this side. Come on this side, because we got to be, yeah. Everybody online got to see you as well. Okay. Go right ahead. You good? Right there.
What he's preached about most was that Jesus died for 42 generations. And he came and he was buried in a borrowed tomb, but he did not stay there. He got up on the third day.
He died for you and he died for me.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And he didn't last there because he got up.
But all power.
All power in his hand. We want to thank Pastor for instilling that into us.
All right, yes. and that's the gospel that's mission. It. That's right. Yeah. Hold on. That's but it. I don't preach more than just that at the end of every sermon.
Oh, he preaches about love now. God wants us to love one another. He loves us, so he wants us to love one another. That is what he preaches also.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Everybody's agreement with that? Is anybody had anything different? Anything else? Anything different? All right. So I knew that would be a theme. I've heard that a lot of times. Matter of fact, this true story. I'll never forget. I've been preaching maybe about 2 months or so, maybe a little longer than that. And Deacon James, he was chairman of Deacon at that time, he came to me and said, "Listen, Pastor. Let me tell you something about First African." He said, "We are who we are. We are First African Baptist Church. But all this stuff about love, you might as well switch on to something else because we just are who we are. You might need to preach something else." And it didn't dawn on me that I was preaching so much about love. But the very next Sunday, I remember this because I was trying not to preach about love. But the very next Sunday, God had me to preach about love. So hopefully I can answer on today why the Lord has given me that message and why and how that experience has been a blessing to me and hopefully to you as well. So today's scripture is found in John, the gospel according to John chapter 13, verse 34, 35. John 13, 34 and 35. And I'll read it to you from the ESV, John 13, 34, 35. Thank you again, Sister Emma, and thank you again, Sister Diane. God bless you. John 13, 34, 35. It says, Jesus is speaking, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, so also are to love one another. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another." Our subject today, we can still do it. Let's pray. God, our creator, sustainer, redeemer, we ask right now in a special way that you speak to us. We, your servants, speak to us, God, that we may not just hear your word, but we may follow your word and do your will your way. Thank you for how you've blessed us through the years, how you're blessing us right now. God, have your way. Holy Spirit, touch, guide, direct. Even if we did not intend to hear from you, God, speak to us anyhow. So as we hear, we may be transformed to do the work you've called us to do. We thank you, God. Bless us now in Jesus' name. And the people of God said, amen. We can still do it. Now, please note this. When I'm preaching to you, I'm not just preaching to you. I'm preaching to me also. Yeah, we all need to grow. And there has been growth in the disciples of Jesus Christ who are members of First African Baptist Church. There has been growth. And we can still do it. Do what? We can love like the Lord wants us to love. We can do that. So seeing that we truly want heaven to be our home and it's our intention by faith to please God, let's look at how we can still do love the way God desires. First, note this. God requires it. God requires it. You can still do it because God requires it. John 13, 34, 35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so also are you to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. Matthew 22, 36 gives us what is called the great commandment. And it says, teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? And he said to them, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Look at how God leads us into this. When Jesus is asked, what's the greatest commandment? And I believe he was asked this. They were trying to trick him in a way. But I believe he was asked this because somebody had in their mind that if I could just find out what the great commandment is, if we could pick out one of the thou shall nots and, you know, you shall not steal. Okay, well, I make sure I won't steal. I'll make sure I won't do those. But what Jesus gave us was the one that covers them all. What a mighty God we serve. He gave us the great commandment. And what I like about it, it's the great commandment and not the great suggestion. He tells this is what we ought to do. And then you say, okay, well, you say, well, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. I love Jesus. Well, he said, if you love him, you will keep my commandment. Now, when we hear that, sometimes we think he's talking about keeping the whole Ten Commandments. No, he says, if you love him, you will keep his commandment. And he says, the new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So basically, he's telling us that we can do this, and he's telling us it's required of us. The commandment fuels everything else in God's word. It's literally why we do what we do as Christians. It really is all about love. It's what we do, and it's how we do it. Well, what do you mean it's all? It's so encompassing of everything God is calling us to do. It is so encompassing when he tells us about love. What do you mean it's so encompassing? Everything is included in it. You also know, not only do we have the great commandment, but we also have what we call the great commission. And that is rooted in love. Matthew 28, 18, 20, it says, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the world. He says, look, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you. Teach them to observe all I have commanded you. What has he commanded us? Love one another as he has loved us. He says, and I'm with you always to the end of the world. Understand how important it is that it's required of us to love. When we think about love, sometimes we think it's optional. You know, I'm just going to love. No. Those of us who love God, those of us who say we're saved, those of us who've given our heart to God, those who've repented and said, Lord, I've sinned, I'm sorry for my sins, I want to turn. We always talk about things we probably can't do. You say, well, I can't give like some people give. They make more money than I make. I'm in a bad situation. But listen, God has given us something and has given us the ability for all of us to do this. And that is to love. You have to choose. Once you're saved, you have to actually honestly choose to not love. But it's required of us to love. And let me say this, second point. Love is more than a notion. It's more than a notion. John 13, 34, 35. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you have love one for another. It's not just saying careless words. And oh, I love you. I love you too. I love you. I love you more. I love you more than the world can ever know. I love you like sugar love grits. You know, I mean, love is so much more than just I feel appreciated or you appreciate me, I appreciate you, so I love you. Or I love you because you did something for me. Or I need you to do certain things for me. That is not what real love is all about. It's more than that. It's not just how you feel toward people who may like or love you. Jesus makes it clear. And this is why this is so important. He makes it clear in Luke chapter 6, verse 27, 28. Jesus says, but I say to you who hear, love your enemies. And I know we like to say, well, I ain't got no enemies. I'm such a loving person. I ain't got no enemies. I love everybody. You might not have enemies, but there are people who see you as their enemy. And when they are identified as such, Jesus says, love them. Love. Now, I know we think love is not speaking to them. If I don't speak to them, that must mean I love them. Because if I speak to them, I'm going to cuss them out. So if I don't talk to them, that's showing I love them. That is not the love he's talking about. Love your enemies. But it's a comedy. He says, do good to those who hate you. If you didn't know what the enemy was, if folk hate you, you do good to them. Bless those who curse you. Y'all heard this message 1,000 times. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who abuse you. That's. Oh, I feel a little Tina coming on. Oh. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 35 and 36. It says, but love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful even as your Father is merciful. Why does all this make sense? He's telling us to do this because the folk in the world who are not saved, who don't love God, who may not know God, that they're looking for God. They're looking for how to find God. And God has placed you there in their life. God put that objectionable person in your family for a reason. It's so you can show them Jesus. Well, I thought they were going to show me Jesus. They supposed to be saved. But the requirement is to love. I can't understand why they in my job. Oh, my goodness, I can't stand them. They say one more thing to me. On this job, I need this job, but I can get me another one, right? I can't take up one. No, listen. God has strategically placed you every place you are. You don't know everybody in the world. Let me say it again. You don't know everybody in the world. So just think about the people who you know and who you're around, that God has strategically placed them in your life, even the strangers you meet. That's not by accident. God is leaning and depending upon you to love them, and love is more than a notion. It's not just thinking out loud, well, you know, I'm going to love you. I say I love you. I said I love you, now leave me alone. Didn't you hear me say, I love you? Because the pastor said, I got to tell you I love you. No, it's genuinely having mercy, it's caring. And listen, one of the things that really helped me with it, I'm going to tell you one of the things that really helped me with this is, if you knew another person's situation, if you knew why they think like they think or why they act like they act, it would help mold you a little bit better. You know, you kind of begin, well, let me give you an example, because y'all like, no, I still don't like them. Let me give you an example. There's a story of a man with children that were riding on the bus. And as they're riding the bus, the children are going through the bus just making a lot of noise. And it's jumping up on people and just, you know, hitting newspapers and stuff like this. And the folk are looking at this man like, you better control these children. You look at, man, no, don't let me do it. You better get the boy. So everybody in the bus starting to get upset with the children just kind of running crazy, just doing what they were, and the man just sitting there with his head down, just sitting there, not doing anything. So finally somebody said to the man, hey, sir, you need to get your kids. He looked up, he said, oh, Oh, I apologize. We're just leaving the hospital. Their mother just passed. I'm trying to figure out how to tell them. Everybody else on the bus started grabbing the children and helping him manage the children. How many times do we not know what somebody else is going through? As Christians, we shouldn't have to know, because we're required to love. But love is more than a notion. And sometimes God will let you into somebody's life for you to know what's going on with them, just so you can love. But God is saying, if anybody is going to love anybody else, regardless of what they've done, it's us, because God has loved us even in spite of what we have done. Yeah, he died for all of our sins, all of our mess. Regardless, and y'all do know we can be very messy. I said, you know, we all have sinned. I said, y'all know we all have sinned. Somebody think I said, y'all have sinned. No, I said, all. Okay, let me help you. I know where the sinners are in this church right now. I know where the sinners are online too. Yeah, I know where you are. I know where you are. And I know where you are. And it's not because I was able to get on psychic.com. No. But I know where you are. I'm going to point out the sinners this morning. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to point them out. But thought I'm going to point them out. I'm going to point out the sinners this morning. Get ready to get live. Put it live. Go ahead. Go on Facebook. Go wherever you want to put it. I'm going to point out y'all hear me? I'm going to point them out this morning, right now. I'm going to point out the sinners. Y'all ready? I'm pointing them out. The sinners are from this pulpit all the way back to the door and all online. The Bible told us we all have sinned and come short. Why we look at each other the way we look? Why do we do that? Dr. Cameron Madison Alexander used to tell it this way. He said, you know, the Bible is clear. The Bible says that we all are the dust of the earth. We are the dust of the earth. Do you know what dust is? We were created from the dust of the earth. Do you know what dust is? Dust is the waste particles of dirt. Let me say it again. Dust is the waste particles of dirt. Even dirt don't want dust. Dirt is valuable. You can sell dirt. You can't sell no dust. And here we walking around talking about one pile of dust better than another pile of dust. We all dust, and we all need each other. So it tells us love is more than a notion. We have to do what we can. The way to get unsaved folks saved is to show love that God has for them and God has for us. We represent Christ, and we have a ministry of reconciliation. We have a message of reconciliation, restoring them back to a God who loves and a God who cares. That's why we come to this table, to remember what he did for us and what he did for all. Lastly, third point. It's God. You can still do it because it's God. Yeah, John 13, 34, 35 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you're my disciples if you are loved one for another. 1 John 4, 10 through 16. Let me read it. It says, 1 John 4, 10 through 16. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever abides in love, thank you, abides in God. Whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Let me say it again, another part. 1 John 4:16. So we have come to know and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. All right, let me help you with how we love. I'm done. I know out of all those instances I talked about how we ought to love, I know we had to say, Pastor, that's really impossible. You just don't know what they did. You don't know how they messed this up. You don't know how they treat me. You don't know what you don't know. Yeah, okay. Granted, I don't. But who does know? Yeah, God knows. But God has taken up residence in us to empower us to do what we can't do. We can't do it on our own. We need a relationship with Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We need God in our lives in order to love like God wants us to love, in order to care like God wants us to care, in order to give like he wants us to give, in order to forgive like God wants to forgive. We need God present in our life, and we need to be able to tell somebody, it's not me, it's God. Yeah, it says, let our light so shine that others may see our good work and glorify the Father which is in heaven. Let our light so shine. In other words, let the work that you do be a work that others can see your work but not talk about how good you are. When they realize that you didn't say to them what they think you ought to say, when you didn't do to them what they think and expected you to do, when you didn't say something evil to them, when you didn't tell them they're another one, when you didn't cuss them out, when you made up your mind that you were going to love them instead of be evil toward them, to get even with them, they're going to not give you credit. They're going to say, wait a minute, this is not her. This is not him. There's something else going on. And that's when you can say, it is nothing but the Holy Ghost. You'll teach them that, no, it's not me. It's God. And that's why God dwells in us, to make a difference in us. God loves, lives in us. The Bible goes on to say, you know, how can you love God who you have not seen? And you hate your brother who you see every day. He said, you're not telling the truth. I'm asking and pleading again and again that we take God at his word, that we will love as God wants us to love in spite of. God loves us in spite of. God cares for us in spite of. God blesses us in spite of. Oh, what would happen if we could do the same kind of thing that God has done? His word tells us, love as I have loved you. You say, well, Pastor, I'm not sure God lives in me. Well, if you accepted Christ, 1 Corinthians 3:17 says, do you not know that you are God's temple? And that God's spirit dwells in you? We're his temple. God lives in us. Yes, God lives in you. So, well, I don't know if God lives in me. He don't know where I went last night. Yeah, God lives in you. And he guides you. He directs you. He blesses you. He forgives you. And he's asking us to be forgiven of others, that they may see God. That's the reason why. You're loving them so they can see God, because it should be our desire that no one ends up in hell. All those objectionable people in your life, know that God has assigned you to help them to get to heaven. That's the only reason they're there. They're not there to make you mad. They're not there to mess up your life. They're there because God has assigned you to help them to see him. Love on them. And look how God will empower you. Give them some peace. Give them some joy. Let them see Christ in you. And watch how God will turn it around. Not just their situation. He'll turn your situation around. I'm done. The people who you're not forgiving and who you think you're holding something against them because you're not forgiving them, you hurting them because I ain't forgiving you. You think you hurting them? They could care less. You walk around here with all this animosity in your heart. You can't sleep at night. You can't get your act together. Every time you hear their name, you go, ooh. And they just having a good old time. No. Forgive them and take yourself out of prison. Forgive them so you can have some joy. Forgive them so you can have some peace. Oh, I know God's word is powerful. And we are saved by grace to do God's will. And God's will is done through God's power. That's why I'm encouraging us now to partner with agencies and ministries and organizations outside of First African Baptist Church to meet some folk you may not know. Maybe everybody you know is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost, and everybody loves you and you love them and everything is going great in your life. Well, I'm asking you to stretch yourself and go out and meet some other folk, some folk who are in need of Jesus. And you'll be surprised how much in need of Jesus we are when we get to meet some other folk. We'll see how much love we need. We thought we had love until somebody crossed us another way. We thought we forgot some of them words until somebody said some of them words to us and to our faith. I'll never forget. I keep saying I'm done. I'm trying to sit down, Holy Spirit. Listen, I'll never forget. Somebody called me on the phone and they wanted something. And I said, no. Nope, you weren't going to get it. Not now, because I'm trying to help you. That person cussed me out. I cannot begin to tell you the words that they said. I mean, they went through a litany of words and told me what I was and all this kind of stuff and everything else. And I'm telling you, the best thing that happened when that happened, the best thing that happened, they hung up. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Had they stayed on that phone, they could have came and told y'all, Pastor told me X, Y, and Z. But because they hung up and the Holy Ghost had time to talk to me, praise his name. I just want to say that God loves us, but he also loves the people who don't know him. And he wants to use us to get them to know him. That's all. And no matter who you are, don't tell me you're not as righteous as somebody else. We're either saved or unsaved. Not somebody more saved than you are. It's like being pregnant. Either you're pregnant or you're not. All right? So you actually, listen, because you are saved, you have a responsibility to love. You have an obligation. And God will help you do it the way he wants you to do it. So on today, my plea, after 42 years, my plea, is that we can still do it. We can still love. We can still love. Sister Diane, Sister Emma, how do I know we can still do it? Because he came. Through 40 and two generations, came to this earth and went about doing good. Out of all the good he did, folk talked about him, ridiculed him, called him everything but a child of God. But our Lord and Savior kept doing what was right. He kept doing what was pleasing in the Father's sight. He kept on loving. He kept on giving. He kept on sharing. He kept on healing. Can you see our Lord and Savior, even when they accused him and they arrested him and they took him from judgment hall to judgment hall, can you see our Lord and Savior when they marched him up to Golgotha's hill? They put nails in his hands and nails in his feet with a crown of thorns on his head. And on the cross, because he loves me so much, on the cross, because he loves you so much, the Bible says he died. Oh, but the story doesn't stop there. They placed him in a borrowed tomb. He stayed there all night Friday, stayed there all day Saturday, stayed there all night Saturday night, but early on that Sunday morning, he got up with all power, power over the grave, victory over death. He ascended into heaven, sent back the Holy Spirit, sent back the Holy Spirit, sent back the Holy Spirit, who lives in us, who shows us how to love, who teaches us how to love, who would help us to love. He sent back the Holy Spirit, and now he lives in us. Somebody ought to tell the Lord, thank you. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. He loves you. He loves me. He died. He rose. He's coming back again. Somebody will say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I love you, Lord. And I won't take it back. You've been so good to me. Yes, Lord. Listen, if you're here today, if you're online today, and you say, Pastor, I need that love. Well, you need to know God is love. You can have the love I'm preaching about. You can have the love that Jesus is talking about just by yielding yourself to God and saying, listen, God, I've sinned, I've come short. I'm sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. The Bible says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. We're going to pray a prayer. If you're here today and you want to accept Jesus into your life, by praying this prayer, if you believe it, you can be saved and become a disciple of Christ. If you want Christ in your life right now, you repeat these words after me. Say, Father God, I have sinned. I have not been all I should be. I am sorry for my sins. I want to turn from my sins. I believe in my heart Jesus died for my sins and rose from the grave. I'm willing to trust you, God, all the days of my life. Holy Spirit, come into my life. Help me to be what you want me to be. I will tell others that you saved me. Thank you, God, for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer on today, you've accepted Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. You are now a disciple of Jesus. You may also like to be a member of First African Baptist Church, and we'll give you an opportunity to come today. Give us your hand as you've already given God your heart. If you're online, just type saved, S-A-V-E-D, and we'll reach out to you and help you to grow in Christ as we find you a Bible-believing church in your community, or you can even be an online member with First African Baptist Church. Won't you come today? Won't you come? Remain connected to us as we build God's kingdom together. Join us on Facebook at the historic First African Baptist Church and our website, firstafricanbc.com. You may also contribute through an app called Givelify, GIVELIFY. May God bless you and thank you for worshiping with us.